Greetings, friends, and welcome to week 4 of our sermon series titled Questions in the Bible. Pastor Andrew, when he began this series, shared with us that there are different categories of questions. Some questions will test us, while others will result in revelatory moments. Questions also are dependent upon who is asking the question a lot of times, whether it's a doctor or a teacher versus whether it's a friend or a boss. Questions are important, and questions are also life-changing and powerful. He also shared how tone and context matter a lot when we ask a question. For these two elements can portray a sense of either anger or concern or compassion. This is oftentimes important to the individual who is being asked the question. Questions can also generate opportunities for awareness and personal growth. During the past 3 weeks, we have learned of how many times a personal question have led to moments of revelation and awareness, as in the story shared in the song, the Book of Songs, chapter 139, verse 7, where David is having a personal moment, if you will, of acknowledging who God is in his life and how well God knows him. But he also comes to a point where he asks these two questions. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Out of these two questions, David's acknowledgement of God and realized that God was with him wherever he went was a lesson that was not only important to him, but is also important to us today. For wherever we go, we are also taking God with us, whether that place is a place of darkness or a place of life. But out of this awareness is also the power of knowing that God is present with us and continues to be with us. God's presence is also a source of hope, of light, and of strength. Another example of the impact of questions was posed by Jesus when we looked at the Gospel of Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 1st through the 5th verses. For Jesus asked in verse 3, "Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye and not the log in your eye?" Jesus' question drew the disciples and others' attention to the issue of judging others, especially as members of the community of faith and as neighbors. We are called to be careful and gentle in how we view and or treat each other. On last Sunday, Pastor Andrew shared with us two stories in the Bible, both in the Gospel of Mark, both in the 10th chapter, where Jesus is asked a specific question, and he replies to both with a similar question. In the first story, Jesus encounters Bartimaeus, who was blind. and were called out to him, recognizing him for who he was. And when Jesus spoke with him, Jesus asked, "What can I do for you?" And Bartimaeus replied that he wanted to be able to see. In other words, he wanted to have the opportunity to no longer walk around in blindness. Jesus granted Bartimaeus' wish. However, there is a greater lesson that was taught that day in Jesus answering the question for those who were around, just as it was in the next story, that of inner blindness. For in the next story, we have Jesus being asked by James and John a question of, "Will you do what we ask of you?" And Jesus' reply is, again, "What can I do for you? Or what would you have me do for you?" They asked whether they could sit on the right and the left hand of Jesus when Jesus entered into his glory. Jesus, being the teacher that he is, replied, "Do you know what you are asking? Can you drink from the cup that I will drink from?" Unfortunately, being blind as they were to what was really taking place, they replied, "Yes." However, Jesus knew that that was not his to give away, but that belonged to God. So often we have an inner blindness that blocks us from being able to realize some of the things that are taking place around us and the importance of those things. Jesus, who is the great teacher, also responded by letting them know that they need to be mindful of other things, if you will, that they don't get caught up in their own personal blindness. Because wanting to be placed in a position greater than that they had, it gives the potential for them and others to foster attitudes and actions that keep individuals from seeing other people as who they are: human beings. And so Jesus' response was a one that continues to be told, continues to help us to understand the importance of questions. And so today, I invite you to journey with me as we look at our next question in the series, coming from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, the 25th through the 37th verses. This question, my friends, comes from a place that I would say many of us can find ourselves in if we're not careful. But one thing I learned in my days of growing up in my parents' house was that there were no dumb questions. For it was far better to ask a question than to be embarrassed not knowing the answer or pretending to know the answer to the question. This valuable lesson was an important instrument in my journey as an individual, as a young person growing up in the church, but also as I continued my journey to help others. As a business student, another valuable piece of information I learned was the importance of asking the right question given to myself and members of my business class by none other than Peter Drucker. And later, as a student of Jesus and a proclaimer of the gospel, today's lesson has affirmed for me the words that have been shared by author Dr. Herman Harold Horn in his book, Jesus, the Master Teacher. For in it he wrote, "Jesus came not to settle men's souls, but to provoke them, not to answer men's questions, but to ask them." Today, we have an opportunity to see this very thing played out that Dr. Horn has written about. For today, we will see how Jesus is asked two questions and how he replies to these questions. And so, hear these words as given to us in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 25 through 37. One day, an expert in religious law stood up at the Jewish, One day, an expert in Jewish law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" We know the story. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins. "If this bill runs higher than this, I will pay you the rest the next time I'm here." Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandit? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Go." For yes, that is correct. "Go now and do the same." Friends, very often, the real question that needs to be answered is usually not the initial one asked. Case in point, therapists are trained to help individuals discover things about themselves by asking them questions instead of simply providing a best practices answer or solution. This process often challenges clients or patients to reflect and or look within themselves for the answers he or she may be seeking. I believe the same was true for this young expert in our scripture today. He posed the question what he must do for eternal life with an intent of testing Jesus, if you will, if embarrassing Jesus, dare he think such a thing would take place. And yet I'm drawing back to Dr. Horn's words that Jesus did not come to soothe men's souls or to answer their questions, but he came to ask the question. Jesus ask the young men questions to let him have an opportunity to work through some of what it was that he was actually wrestling with inside. And not only did he ask the question, but he also framed it in such a way that the man had to take pause to receive all that Jesus was imparting to him. Friends, there will also be times when we will be challenged by others to justify our actions and our faith, especially in the midst of COVID-19. And while our physical doors to the building are closed, the doors of our hearts, I pray, are not closed. Many will challenge and say, well, you are the church, but you can't get into your buildings now. So how are you going to be able to be the salt of the earth, the light in darkness? But church, we learned back in February that the church is not a building or a steeple. The church is the people. We are the people. We are the body of Christ. We are many members of one body who are called to be of one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Our neighbors are whom we are called to care for, whether we're in our building or outside of our building. Yes, COVID has caused some challenges, but God has expanded our territory by giving us even more neighbors via our virtual worship experience. Neighbors that we would not have had an opportunity to necessarily connect with. As the church, we are also called to still have compassion and concern for our neighbors, those who are being ridiculed, if you will, those who are suffering, because there are people still in this world who look at them through a heart of blindness and pass judgment. People who are suffering, who need assistance with housing, who need assistance with food, and they look at them with hearts of blindness. And yet, Jesus is not only calling the expert, but Jesus still calls us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love our neighbors as we love God. Remembering wherever we go, we take God with us. We need each other more than ever before. I remember the words of songwriter Hezekiah Walker says, I need you, you need me. We're all a part of God's body. We are called during this time to do good, to not harm our neighbors. We are called to do justice. We are called to love mercy. We are called to be the church. We are called to wrestle with the hard questions. Are we going to not only be the church, but even greater than that, are we going to love our neighbors? Amen. Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this time, and we thank you, Lord, for the questions that your Son answers and provides even greater questions for us to realize his role in our lives. And so we thank you for him, God, and we also thank you for the words that he left his disciples and us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. God bless you.